This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
My next guest is already here, and I'm hoping the name is Kazel, and the surname, of course, is Hendricks, founder of the Oppie Ball Foundation. We speak to, of course, the Oppie Ball Foundation about the need for the country to prioritize disability mainstreaming to address barriers that exclude people with disabilities from enjoying equal human rights. Let me bring Kazel Hendricks into the conversation. Kazel, is it Kazel?
Yes, indeed. Good evening, Denzel. It is, you pronounce it 100% correctly. It is Kazel.
Kazel Hendricks, where are you based? Kazel, where are you based?
Yeah, well, I'm here in Pretoria, in the capital of our country.
Yeah, and Tshwane, and all the politicians fighting over Tshwane, over Tshwane.
Yeah, so. Yeah, that is interesting how leadership is changing roles on a weekly basis, so to speak.
Absolutely, man. And it's you know, from our perspective of watching it in the media as well, it's just a fascinating, you know, ping pong of ideas and ping pong of people. And you know, now we've got a new coalition in there, and the old coalition is gone, but the old coalition wants to come back. So it's really, really interesting times in there. But Kazel, we're talking about, you know, enjoying equal human rights for people, of course, and prioritizing disability, mainstreaming, you know, the issue of disability, prioritizing it as well. Equal Human Rights Day coming up, all of these kind of issues. You know, where do you start, Kazel, if I asked you a general question and I said, you know, people with disability prioritizing their issues, mainstreaming their issues, and also bringing them into an equation where, you know, equal human rights apply to them as well. What's your general take on that particular conversation? Where do you start the conversation?
Well, firstly, thanks for that question.
Sure.
Denzel, firstly, if we look at mainstreaming specifically, you know, then we will be talking directly to our stakeholders involved, getting stakeholders together,
yeah,
making collective decisions. You know, if we look at mainstreaming, and we're not only looking at a specific sector, but we are really focusing on an industry that really consists of both national and global needs. You know, it's a global imperative, and it starts with us on the ground. It starts with us at grassroots level, because that is where the need needs to address. It is where the gaps exist. You know, at our immediate grassroots level, you know, so engagements with key stakeholders in the sector plays an important part, and I'm sure that we're going to dive into some of those engagements and who is responsible role players, you know, in driving disability mainstreaming across all sectors in society.
Let's talk about those responsible role players. Who do you see as the responsible? Who should be in the conversation?
Yes, definitely. You know, that is why, if I can just mention it at this stage, you know,
sure,
that through this webinar, a conference coming up, the disability National Disability Awareness Conference.
Sure.
And we.
Kazel, we're losing you just a little bit.
Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you, Kazel.
Oh, my apologies.
Sure.
So,
sure.
And the key role players within this conference will indeed be government in all its spheres, at all the different levels of government, the corporate and business communities. You know, we're looking at also society at large. These are the key role players that must commit to driving mainstreaming and shaping accountability. I always say, Denzel, that South Africa is one of the countries with the most beautiful policies in place. But that is not enough. Now we must move that policies to consequence management, meaning that we want to implement those policies so those policies can have an effect. So those policies can drive mainstreaming. Those policies can now shape. Give persons with disabilities also access, you know, and when we say access, we not necessarily mean access into buildings, access into parks, access into society, but also access into the mainstream of our economy as well.
Access versus barriers. So in that, that's the way I understand it, right?
Yes, there is beautifully said that you know, and these are the kind of barriers that prevents persons with disabilities from equal participants in society, and it's these barriers that we must advocate for to be removed. So persons specifically with disabilities will now have access to basic services, for example, like your transport, workplace, training, and you know, we must really start to look beyond barriers as infrastructures only, because it's much more than just a ramp for a person with a disability. It's making, you know, like I said, it's making persons with disabilities also an integral part of conversation, integral part of decision making, integral part of media programming to drive the message, and that is what the objective is through this conference as well.
Kessel, how do we bring government into the conversations? And because obviously you need various stakeholders. Civil society needs to be in a conversation. Business needs to be there. You know, you need, you know, all sorts of other things. But you need government as well. How do you bring government into this particular conversation?
Indeed, you know, government is the custodian of the policy, of policies, systems, devices, policies driving reasonable accommodation. You know, those things are there. And when we bring government to the table, and these are the kind of communications that we have, government as an equal partner in like we said, shaping accountability, getting commitment from government, keeping our corporate sector, keeping our national government structures accountable. You see. When we say accountable, we're not only referring to reaching your equity targets alone, but making sure, like I also said earlier on, the Sustainable Development Goals that speaks about transformation. Those Sustainable Development Goals must be implemented. Those Sustainable Development Targets that was set must be met. And that takes place. That conversation takes place on a national level. Those conversation takes place on global level. And that accountability must be driven and steered and shaped from the top, and not the other way around. We can raise awareness as much as we would like. And you know, we can go to the streets. We can, like I said, do programs for persons with disabilities to educate society. But if we do not have the buy-in from the national structure, if we do not have the buy-in from the national office, then I really want to say, you know, that the work on the ground will be in vain. But consistency is. Has taught me. I can see there's changes. For example, recently on the Maloto Road, you know, the tender that went out. Those kind of inclusiveness into giving also now persons with disabilities access to that massive contract going on there. So So these are the kind of commitments, economic development and empowerment for persons with disabilities. These are the kind of things that now also will make persons with disabilities, like I said, the integral part. And those are the kind of decisions that government can take and government can enforce as a key role player in driving and shaping accountability and commitment with regard to disability mainstreaming.
Castle, what do you make of the deliberate sometimes avoidance in some quarters of employing disabled people? What do you make? Because there's a lot of that, and a lot of it is deliberate.
Yes, I almost want to go as far as to say is that our corporate sector fears the unknown. Yeah. It is easier for our corporate sector and even for government, but specifically on grassroots level, where our corporate companies are now depending on their own turnovers to make their workplaces, for example, accessible for persons with disabilities. But like we said, is that the fear, if we look at how, for example, the transformation changed, how, for example, technology has changed in recent years. Those are the kind of things that must be advocated for. Those are the kind of things, the messages that must be drive to local, to business owners to say, you know what, guys, what we perceive as undue hardship, what we maybe perceive is how are we going to accommodate a person with disabilities within our business, in our company? What changes, what organizational changes, both in infrastructure, are we going to make? And I think that onus also lies with us as persons with disabilities and also within the sector to educate, to drive the message, to inform and to give this information, about what is available and what is possible to do. I think, you know, one of the nice things that we also will be having at this conference is companies with technology that will specifically exhibit the trends, that the latest trends for persons with disabilities, showcasing assistive devices that will speak on different needs of persons with disabilities. These are the kind of devices, you know, and reasonable accommodations that is available that we can. In my opinion, is that there is not enough marketing. There is not enough awareness driving that message. But now what the only thing that we see is unemployment levels of persons with disabilities go up. The targets of 2% that we had cannot be reached. Those targets are up, but we don't come forth with an alternative to say, instead of speaking about the targets, speak of things that is possible. Speak of things that is available. And there is so much research going into this technology, making sure that we can have this available and speak on these technological advancements that is available both to the employer and persons with disabilities, ensuring that we don't have an excuse anymore to make our workplace environment, barrier-free and also accommodative of persons with disabilities. We don't have to opt to pay a levy, a penalty rather, because we don't comply with the employment equity stats within our organizations. There are ways that we can bring the work and persons with disabilities together on grassroots level in all spheres of government.
Castle Hendricks, I'm going to say thank you so much for joining me on Power Perspective tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Castle Hendricks. Of course, Castle is the founder of the Oppie Ball Foundation and, of course, based in Tshwane, based in Pretoria. That's Castle Hendricks, founder of the Oppie Ball Foundation.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.